It's a Friday morning. Susan gets the Friday morning with us, which is great. That means we're always in a great mood. Not that we're not in a great mood on a Tuesday, but Fridays are special, Sluss. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. The sun's shining. You're back home. You get Giants Padres. You get Giants Mets. This is a cool homestand, huh?
Yeah, it's fun. Padres, anything in the division is going to be huge this year. These division games, I think, are, and the Mets, too. Mets are always good. Yeah, you're 100% right. What's not to love?
Hey, just a quick thing, a tribute to the manager who's coming in tonight to the visiting dugout, Bob Melvin, who I remember as a hum baby on some of the greatest Giants memory teams of my life. And then you covered for so many years, and he had prostate surgery. And that's, that's not no joke, but he's coming back into the dugout. So just a little tribute, I thought. Maybe just welcome back, and maybe all the years you had covering him, if you could explain what kind of baseball dude he is.
Yeah, you guys both know this, that the real tough thing with managing, probably in any area of life, right, is you have to command respect. But you also want people to like you, but not too much. You're nobody's like buddy, but it's a very fine line to walk. There's nothing harder than a major league manager. You got to handle the front office. You got to handle the players. You got to handle upset players. You got to handle the media, the fan expectations, all of those things. I have never seen anybody better than Bob Melvin at handling all of those things. And also commanding respect while having players also really like him. It's pretty extraordinary. He ticks every box. And the baseball knowledge, obviously, is off the charts great. He's an old school guy. I think there were some feathers ruffled in the last series against the Padres.
That's right.
Not to say the Padres haven't been guilty of that. That was pre Bob Melvin, of course, when we saw the Tatis slam on the 3-0 pitch. But
yeah.
Yeah, he's such a good fit for them. It's been a team that's been a little bit off, in some areas, and he's somebody that can really get through to everybody, I think.
I'm glad you reminded me. We could see, who knows if there's a reprisal. Hey, when he hired Matt Williams in his dugout, he was making a statement, because Matty W is, there's old school, and then there's a really, 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 really old school down the street, and that's where Matt Williams hangs out.
That's the Jason Kendall, Matt Williams School of Baseball.
And so who knows if any of that will rear its head.
Interesting.
This was the series where Dubon bunted. By the way, they traded Dubon.
Yeah.
So maybe Gabe's going to come out and say to the Padres dugout, hey, man, we traded that guy. Don't worry about it.
We don't want any trouble. Yeah.
But good point to remember that they were the ones who were upset last time they came through here. Hey, while we're on managers, given that, you talked about Melvin and you covered Art Howe, you and I covered him together, and Kenny Maka and others, Tony. And just wondered where Gabe is starting to settle in for you, and because he's so different, obviously. We can go through a million ways. Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, I love that. I love that he's different. He, no two managers should be the same. I think it's really fun. He thinks so completely differently about the game, about, some of these things like the unwritten rules. That's the perfect example. Really, of how Gabe Kapler and probably the front office too view things with baseball. Everything is either an advantage or it's not an advantage. And if you can take advantage of something, you're gonna absolutely. And no matter what it is, whether it's information, whether it's running up some scores to take out a bullpen for the rest of the series. Anything is going to be something that they can use. And if they can't use it, they're just going to disregard it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he's fun. He thinks really, really deeply about things, even if it's in a very different way from what we're used to. But that's great. Advances the game.
No, he's so different. And you get to be a courtside seat or a front row seat, and we'll continue to watch him manage this team. Another winning season on the way, 22-15. So you wrote a good piece this morning, Susan. I'm glad you did it. Nobody's really sat down and talked to Brandon Crawford about his slow start. It's sort of, I don't want to call it the elephant in the room, but it's funny, Susan, we have a running joke on our show that last year we just fell in love, and we had a member of our staff who was saying, it's a fluke, and
Called it a power surge. Yeah.
Let's just call him out by name. It's Creative Tony.
That's our guy.
So anytime Brandon Crawford would do something, it was a running joke on the show. Do you know that meme or that gif of those two dogs barking at each other and they say, blank you, Tony, that whole thing? I don't know. But anyway, long story is, looks like Tony is looking more correct this year because Crawford's not hitting this year. And you went to talk to him about it. So people should go get their Chronicle and read it. But what did you learn?
It was fascinating. It's sort of a perfect storm of things going on for Brandon Crawford. You know, I had even considered it, but the lockout cost him so much time with the Giants hitting staff. And we know there were concerns, I think, when Gabe Kapler and his staff came in, like, how are the veterans going to respond? Well, especially when it came to some of the hitting things they do, Brandon Crawford was on board immediately. And look at what he did last year. You know, that was a lot to do with some of the work he did with them. So none of that for 3 months, none of it. That set him back. He said, muscle memory is so important. He came in last year with great muscle memory. You know, he was set, ready to go. This year, not so much, and maybe some bad things crept in. So here's some of the things that they've realized. Looking at his swing last year, looking at his setup last year, first of all, that he shortened up his stance a little bit, and that was right before he had the three-hit game. But the more important thing is sort of how he's using his core, right? The hips, where really the strength comes in. Justin Vealey called it his pelvic extension. I'm not quite sure exactly how you would characterize that. And Crawford said, I like to think of it more as the hips. The hips are a real key for him, and they just weren't quite firing. He wasn't getting the explosiveness that he got last year, and they both saw that independently on the video, and that's what he's working on. Plus the timing, something gets thrown off even just a little, a tiny bit, and that can mess everything up. It just kind of exponentially grows when there's one little thing off.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, in baseball, we fall back too much onto offense. That's all we talk about. When, in fact, we talked about this with Mike Kruko last hour, and he said, he's a guy who can put up numbers that aren't dazzling because of what he does on the other side. And he's like, as baseball fans, we just don't talk about it enough, how important defense is. And so he ain't going anywhere is my point.
Oh, no. I mean, he's so superior, shortstop. You know, even at the age of 35, he's still one of the best in the game. So, yeah, he's definitely not going anywhere. And when you look at his numbers last year, they weren't that dissimilar at this season. He had a lot more homers. But besides that, the average, the on-base, sort of in the same area. So I'm not saying let's write off this season for Brandon Crawford. And offense is down everywhere. He made that point. Gabe Kapler talked to the entire hitting group and said, look, if you guys are chasing career years this year, it's not going to happen. This is not that kind of year. Just don't even worry about it. Don't think about it. Offense is down. That's just the way it's going to be. You know, do the best you can do under these current circumstances. And I think that's how they're probably all looking at it now.
Yep. Susan Slusser, San Francisco Chronicle, joins us every Friday morning. Giants Padres tonight. Good one. You know, it's not the sexiest topic. It's not Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban going at each other, which is just incredible audio, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's definitely not as sexy as that. But I'm going to the game tonight with my sister and my nephews. I mean, her nephews, pardon me, my kids. And we're going to see Jacob Junis. You know, it's like, I want to see Rodon or Webb, but here comes Jacob Junis. Oh, by the way, he's pitching really well, right? What's the book on this guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a Farhan guy, just a little overlooked, very nice, kind of affordable pickup, looking for a spot where he can really excel. And I think pitchers now know that this is the Giants are a spot where you just need a little tweak or you need to use things a little differently, hone things in. This is a great spot for you, and I think Junis is really going to thrive with the Giants. We're seeing that already. I mean, his numbers are terrific. Keeps the ball on the ground. hey, use Grant. You got Brandon Crawford out there? Use him. Tyro Estrada, very nice at second base. Hope we keep seeing him mostly there. Use those guys. Longoria, that's what we're going to see from him. In this, like all the rest of the Giants pitchers, he's in the strike zone all the time. It's really fun to watch him, and he fits right in, you know? He's also got great hair. I think this is underrated. He's got some good hair.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, very underrated. He's got a pretty good look.
I actually hadn't, you know, both times he's pitched, I've had been busy, and so it was my first time to really study him. I'll start with the salad, and we'll move on from there. Hey, Suze, we save the big stuff for the end here. You love a good rumor. Fans love rumors. How about a rumor involving A, Aaron Judge to the Giants, and then B, why don't we drop the big old whopper Juan Soto to the Giants? So as a beat writer, and you've done this for years and years and years, and you got to start assessing your rumor meter, which ones you're going to start kicking the tires on. Where's Susan? As we get close, you know, July is two. Actually, I think it's August now. The first week is the trade deadline. Anyway, we're 2 months out. Are you starting to kind of limber up and stretch for rumor season? Aaron Judge, Juan Soto.
I don't see Judge happening this year, but he could be somebody who tempts them as a free agent. Yeah, they are very good on clubhouse chemistry, and I'm not necessarily sure how they rate some of these potential guys on clubhouse chemistry. To me, for the Giants this year, their need is probably going to be another catcher. That's just and seeing how things go with Joey Bart in the next month or two. But I've been saying that's probably the area that I'm looking at most practically for the Giants. But yeah, who wouldn't want Juan Soto? My goodness, that would be that I could see. I'm sure they're having talks. Did anybody think the Giants were going to be the team that wound up with Chris Bryant last year? No. So sometimes when the rumors come out this early, it winds up being not even close to what winds up being in reality. When teams start getting linked, they're never the team they wind up going to.
Well, I'm wondering, like, what was Farhan's biggest move with the Dodgers? Mookie Betts was after him. What was his biggest
name?
Did he, like, I'm just trying to, because he's so, like, he... We think Farhan, we think Jacob Junis, we don't think Juan Soto or Aaron Judge, right? So trying to think, what was his biggest? I'm blanking right now, live on the air here. Am I forgetting Waterboy Spider? Am I forgetting, what's his biggest move? Because he hasn't. That was the big thing, Susan, when he came. I kept telling Paulie, all right, I want to see the evil genius pull off a three-way trade here. And he's like, no, I'm going to give you Mike Yastrzemski from the Orioles, and I'm going to give you Alex Dickerson from the Padres, and I'm going to give you...
Chris Bryant is not,
Well, there.
Chris Bryant's a big freaking deal.
Chris Bryant, so that's it,
Yeah, and remember, it was the Dodgers, he was really the number two. You know, I'm not going to give Farhan all the credit or any really of the major blame for anything with the Dodgers, because Andrew Friedman was really running the show there.
Yeah, he got Zach.
Farhan's the guy. Buck stocks with Farhan now, for sure.
He got Zach Greinke when they were there, huh? Is that right? No? We're looking him up. Anyway, well, I'm just kind of wondering. We're just stretching out the muscles here for rumor season.
Aaron, limber. I'm not applying any of the Dodger stuff. I think he uses some of their methods, and certainly he's got, at least more of the payroll like he did with the Dodgers rather than with the A's. But, he's the number three guy with the A's. He was really the number two guy with the Dodgers.
Are there any catchers available? Looming from teams that would be looking to sell?
Murphy. I've been saying Sean Murphy for so long.
Okay.
But
someone
like that, okay. a team that's probably got very little chance of going anywhere and has a good young catcher, I think would probably be a very good fit.
If Sean Murphy comes over, we'll arrange a beer with Sean Murphy, Mike Murphy, and I'm going to crash the scene.
Okay, all Murph's right, coming.
So, all Murphy. Will you actually show up?
Nice, Susan. There you go. Nice. I like how you got that one.
That's
in.
A little
that was
mic
good.
Drop for you. Off you go.
Well done.
Off you go.
Well done.
All right.
Good timing.
Looking forward to your coverage this weekend, Susan. And thanks for the time.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.